much about.
All right, guys. It's a work day, and you guys work here, so let's go do some work.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am a guy, and I like fire, and playing hockey, and eating meat.
Men were men back then, I'll tell you. You wanted to do something private with another man, it wasn't gay. No, it's just two men celebrating each other's strength.
Let me ask you something. What do women want? Who cares?
This does not concern you, woman. It is a matter for men to decide.
Have you taken the sexual harassment seminar yet?
Are you sexually harassing me right now? Because if you are, I think I'm going to have to report you for giving me a serious boner.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Suck it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Suck it.
Yeah.
What?
Roll another one.
You're
just like the other one.
So?
This one seems to be allowed.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Oh my God, I want to smash your face.
Roll another one.
Well, pardon me while I jump up and click my heels.
Just like the other one.
Sometimes you don't know what your life is like. Box of chocolates, right, Dean?
Do you get?
I don't have another cent.
I never thought I would see the day that a black person would be elected president.
Oh, I don't understand what that means.
Just pass it around.
Mumford, Tennessee. Hello.
And now,
smoking weed.
Our feature presentation.
That guy is already happier than I'll be the whole rest of my life. right there, that 15 seconds. He's enjoying the world more than I am. How about that?
That's true.
Good morning, party people. 1-800-520-1067. That is the telephone number if you want to be part of the Friday. And always the best, Kevin and Bean, what it do, nephew. Lisa, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. I want to say this right off the bat, that the 5 freeway is completely closed southbound in Burbank. I just want to throw this out there right now before the traffic report, just so people know who are just getting on the freeways.
What's that about?
South 5 at Buena Vista is closed down. It's a fatal accident, but it's all lanes until they say 7 this morning. So get on the 170.
I never understood that. If it's a fatal accident, wouldn't it be easier to clean up? Like, isn't there less to do?
They have to go out and do measurements. And yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I guess. The detectives get involved.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell me. I was a buzz for years.
Were you?
Because then someone insists on knowing why their relative got killed. That's why. So they want to have that information at their fingertips when the time comes.
Which is very inconvenient for the rest of us.
Yeah.
I know. And by the way, let's talk about how inconvenient it would be to die suddenly and unexpectedly. Because you got plans. I mean, that guy, I don't know, guy or girl, whoever it was driving around, wanted to see the outcome of the March Madness.
Sure.
I mean, that's it was one of the things that they were looking forward to that was going to happen.
Probably
going to
see Hot Tub Time Machine this weekend.
Probably going to see Hot Tub Time. Exactly, yeah. I mean, it just goes to show you, man, tomorrow is promised to no one.
Yeah, well done. I would so prefer to die like that.
No.
Especially if it's instantaneous.
No.
I want a heads up.
I do too. And no. I think, you know, we have fatal accidents.
Why would you want a heads up, Lisa?
Me?
Yeah, we've already talked about this. You said you absolutely, under no circumstances would you want to know the day that you die.
Not the day.
Okay,
that's very
the ultimate
different
heads
than
up.
Wanting to die instantly without having any. No, If I got sick when I was old, that'd be okay.
Yeah, if you saw it coming 6 months in advance, that would be ideal. And it needs to be the kind of sickness that isn't excruciatingly painful where you're praying to die. It's just something that is slowly taking you.
Right, but the mental anguish of knowing you're going to die sucks, even if it's for just a week. Well, I'd rather just be driving down the freeway, bebopping, skiddle-bopping along, and next thing you know, done.
Mike,
done.
That is outweighed by the ability to be able to settle your affairs. And in my case, get some affairs going first, and then I have them sub to settle. But I mean, you'd want the opportunity to be able to, you know, get your stuff in order and say goodbye to people and, you know, blow all the money in the bank account and stuff like that.
I also think it's easier on your family. I mean, I always think about this when we have fatal accidents, that someone is going to have to go knock on someone's door today and tell them why somebody's not coming home.
Yeah,
I mean, we forget about that.
No,
that
brutal. Brutal, but over with. Whereas, like, if you're dealing with a family member in the hospital, that sucks. You know, it goes on for months.
Yeah, that does suck. That does suck. You know? But that's not what I'm choosing. There's something
in between. Let me put it this way, Mike. Let's take this week's examples, and we will get right to your calls. Please hold on, 1-800-520-1067. Would you rather be the family of Dennis Hopper, who he's going to die in the next few days, but you saw it coming and had a chance to say goodbye? Or would you rather be the family of actor Robert Culp, who was in pretty good health but fell and slipped and died suddenly the other day? That would be way harder and way worse.
I think so.
I think. I don't know.
I mean, I haven't experienced a lot of the sudden death in my family or with my loved ones. Only a couple of friends who have, you know, unfortunately died in Iraq. But it shocks you in the morning and then you're, you know, in the middle of the night. And
right,
it's over
here,
with.
Here's my medical care professional, Dr. Garman, has just stepped in the room. Yes, Ralph.
Mike is absolutely right. And you guys are absolutely wrong.
No.
You don't want six months to watch someone wither away and die. Because let me tell you something. The grieving process is the same whether they die. You know they're going to die or they die. You're going to spend the rest of your time thinking and missing that person. So if you have 6 months to worry about it and grieve over it even before they're gone, it doesn't lessen the grieving process afterwards.
I'm not talking about what's better for other people.
Well, that's what the point was just made about Dennis Hopper, right? Does Dennis Hopper family want to watch Dennis Hopper wither away to a 100-pound cancer victim? Or would they like to wake up the next day and say, oh, Dennis is gone, and then celebrate his life and grieve anyway?
Well, since we're choosing, we didn't choose a 100-pound cancer victim.
Dennis Hopper.
Well,
I'm saying it's easier on the family to know he's going to die and then have him die rather than just bad phone call. Oh, your dad, who was healthy yesterday, is dead today.
I don't agree.
No, it doesn't make a difference. It's grieving regardless. But you've saved yourself the 6 months of pre-grieving that person, of already missing them and being sorry for what's going to happen, and spending that 6 months in misery versus just living your life up to that moment and then afterwards grieving.
But in Dennis Hopper's case, though, his family, although it may have been unpleasant
to see
their...
are going through hell right now.
Yeah.
They've
had
been going through hell since he was diagnosed.
But they've also had the opportunity to spend time with him, say things that need to be said, sort out what's going to happen after he dies.
Well,
they've had the opportunity to do all of that.
Or human beings being spend time with our loved ones regardless and have all that time anyway.
Well, I have a family member who dropped
dead. And we don't have to dwell on the death part.
I don't care for loved ones.
We don't have to dwell on the fact that we're going to die because we're busy living life. If you go instantaneously without seeing it coming, you've lived your life up until the point when you died. If you see it coming, then you spend the 6 months leading up to that dealing with your death even before you die.
If you know you're going to die, it's never a good thing. I mean, it pretty much means you're sick.
On your mind.
You're sick or there's something coming.
You would always have that on your mind the minute you found out you were going to die up until the point you did.
It's anguish.
It would fill your every waking thought.
I think it depends on the age of the person, because I have a family member who died very suddenly at like 58, and it's still traumatic. 20 years later, it's still traumatic because nobody knew that was going to happen. Nobody had the chance to say goodbye or settle anything. So I think it depends on the age. If he's 80 and he drops dead suddenly, that's okay.
Then you
but if
say
it's
you
a young person, I don't think that's okay.
Well, I've experienced both, and I think going is better.
Who feels we're not starting off a Friday show in the proper framework?
Well, you're Dr. Death. You're the one that began everything.
Lisa's the one who killed that guy on the five, by the way.
People to get a heads up before they
started
driving.
She murdered the guy on the five first before she got here.
I'm just curious. Bean says, I got to get my affairs in order. I'm just wondering what Bean's crazy bucket list is that he's got to take care of.
Oh, got to put more hay in the barn before I go.
Well, I want my animals to be taken care of after I've gone. All right, let's shelve this for right now and revisit perhaps
shelve
another day.
Shelve you, mister.
We're not going to have much time for calls, but let's try anyway. 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, let's squeeze as many in as we can in a very short amount of time. Lightning round, line one. Brent, hi, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling What It Do.
What It Do.
What It Do, nephew. Hey, you need to bring back that horn that DJ Omar Khan had.
Took care of that one. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Robert. Robert is on line three. See, making dreams come true here today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bob, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What It Do, nephew. What It Do, baby boo.
What It Do.
I tell you what, people keep getting my order wrong in the fast food restaurants. They're going to die quick. How hard is their job to just get my order right? And then if they don't, you go back to get your order. They're looking at you like, you know, piece of scum trying to get free food.
Yeah, that's true.
To answer the question, I think it's probably a harder job than we imagine it to be.
True.
But that doesn't mean it can't. That I do. I do think it probably is because think about how little time you have to get all that food specifically for that customer in a bag and get it to them in no time at all. But I think it is possible that the competent people are able to do it. So I think both are true. It's harder than you think, yet it's possible.
King of Mexico worked fast food, and he's telling me that it's not that hard.
Yeah. Can't be. Come work in my job out here in the oil field, you know, 18, 20-hour days.
No, that's backbreaking. That's hard. But, you know, who knows? Who knows, dude? And I'm sure there's probably a communication breakdown.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's take one more. This is Kurt. He's on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kurt, thanks for calling. What It Do?
What It Do, nephew? What It Do, baby boo?
What It Do?
Hey, you guys were talking about having, you guys were talking about death.
Yeah.
And I got the perfect way to go out. What would be better than going out, pumping away, having intercourse?
Pumping away.
Well, it would be an awesome story for your family to tell for the rest of their lives.
I would not want to be underneath you when it happened, though. Got to be honest.
I would just hope you're on top.
And hope that it's not with a working girl. Yeah. You know, so that your family can go out telling, oh, it was with his loving wife or something.
Or, you know, in Mike's case, with the copy boy or somebody like that.
Yeah.
That will be like, oh,
rubber ball gag in, you know, some of the interns' mouths or something.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, I think in general it's great for the person who dies. They're enjoying themselves. But for everybody else, it depends greatly on the circumstances, on who you were having sex with and why.
Yep.
All right. Great call. Thank you so much. See, that cheered everybody up. We're still on the death topic, but now we're talking about having sex with a ball game.
All right.
All right. Big program today. Of course, it's Friday. Ralph has the movie beat for you. Friday also means the return of the Ace Man. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Adam Carolla.
With
the Week in Rage, Bubba's World is a new reality TV show featuring motocross legend James Bubba Stewart. Got that on the show today. How close are we in the state of California to legalizing marijuana? I think it's the first state that has put it on the ballot that's gotten to this point, right?
Yes, I think you're right.
November, it's on the ballot. We'll talk to an LA Times reporter who will tell us how likely that is to pass. As you know, often it has been said, as goes California, goes the nation. So even if you don't live in California, as I don't, it's the type of thing that my state will look at and go, well, see, California didn't fall apart, and they did it. So it's going to be definitely nationwide implications to that. Wedding disasters on the show today. If you haven't heard the story yet about the Russian roulette game that broke out at a wedding reception the other day, you want to hear about that? We'll be taking your calls later on. And there's a new weapon that you're not going to believe. It involves food, a military weapon that they are making with food ingredients. And it sounds pretty deadly, I got to be honest. All of that on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat right after this. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Muse on the way, Audio Slave, Cypress Hill, and Because You Demanded It, Blind Melon coming up.
Yeah.
What song? Huh? What will we be playing from Blind Melon? Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
I want to give congratulations to our listeners in India. The first Taco Bell has opened in India this morning, so congratulations,
wow,
Indians.
Nice.
Now they get to have the runs like the rest of us.
In deference to
the local religion there in India, there is no beef in the tacos, however.
Right.
So it's exactly the same as here in the United States.
Aww.
Isn't that interesting?
Look, I don't know that much about India. I'm assuming it's a country.
Yes. Should we thank them? Should we just give them a real quick call and thank them for...
Do we have time? Can you dial them up there, Mike?
Yeah, let's dial up India. Let me say... Kevin's not here to protest.
I'll do it.
You are shaking your head.
Hello,
is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, India!
Even Alanis Morissette would hate that.
How dare you, sir.
I was wondering how many people are left that still get that bit.
Not many.
Just don't matter. Well, finally...
finally, The Hills is coming to an end. After six seasons, MTV has announced that The Hills will be its final season this year. And Heidi Montag is thrilled because now she's ready to move on and do what she's really meant to do.
Yeah.
Which is become a movie star.
Yeah.
Of course. Heidi tells People magazine, "I'm so excited The Hills is finally over, and now I can become a full-time motion picture actress." "There's no better training for an actor than being in front of the cameras 24/7. Well, actually, there is.
There's a lot better.
It's called acting school.
It's called acting, right. A lot of acting people class. Do that.
Yeah. She said that she is ready to make a motion picture that she has written herself.
Of course. Of course.
"I want to truly show the world my creative ability while playing different characters. I want to play a lifeguard named Summer in a script I wrote myself. It is the first 3D beach comedy about a shark that attacks a small beach town, and I save the day with my 3D boobs."
Yes, please let her make that movie, Hollywood. Please.
"I have even written a role for Dolly Parton to play the town mayor." "I am now finally free to start my career and my new life as a female mogul in Hollywood."
Oh, I want to see that movie right now. So I can't wait for that to be filmed.
Heidi Montag's post-Hills plans. She wants to be a Hollywood mogul.
Well, scripts like that, who's holding her back?
She couldn't be a mogul at a ski resort, let alone a Hollywood mogul.
Hey now.
What? Jesse James, he just gets worse for this bastard. Just gets worse. He's got, of course, Bombshell McGee, Michelle Smith, and Bridget Daguerre, I mentioned yesterday. That's three. Well, there's a fourth.
Oh, no,
woman
really?
Apparently coming forward. Well, we're not sure if she's going to come forward or not. We have to just take the word of her newly hired attorney, Gloria Allred.
Of course.
Oh.
Gloria told Entertainment Tonight that she is representing yet another one of Jesse's alleged mistresses. "My latest client is a beautiful model and businesswoman," Gloria Allred says, "who can't decide whether she wants to go public or not, but maintains she carried on a 3-year-long love affair with Jesse James."
Okay.
While he was married to Sandra Bullock.
Sure whether she wants to go public, why come forward?
Why hire Gloria Allred to be your mouthpiece?
Right. Yeah, but we didn't know about you before. If you don't want it to be public, just stay where you are.
She's just fishing. She's fishing for offers. She wants Absolutely. To see if someone will write her a check to tell her story.
Wow.
Speaking of the tabloids,
Lindsay Lohan
is blaming her latest spill that I reveled in yesterday of her falling over loaded into a cactus on her friend's front lawn on the paparazzi. It was the paparazzi that made her do it because they were in her way and they were flashing flash bulbs, and it threw her off, her equilibrium. It wasn't the quart of Patron she poured down her throat. It was the flashes that got her.
Sure.
Speaking of which, PerezHilton.com's got a story today about Lindsay lighting up inside a club. Here's the thing. In California, you can't smoke indoors anymore, and even in a bar, you can't smoke.
A lot of places outdoors now you can't smoke.
That's true. But it doesn't stop Lindsay. She was lighting up in this bar. And the poor cocktail waiter. Can you imagine being the cocktail waitress to Lindsay Lohan's party?
No.
How much of a pain in the ass is that? Apparently, she had to visit the table 4 different times and ask Lindsay Lohan to put out her cigarette. Lindsay ignored her every time. So eventually, the waitress grabbed the cigarette out of her hand and snuffed out the cigarette.
Yeah!
Well, Lindsay Lohan reportedly went wild, started shouting, and tried to light the server's skirt on fire with a lighter.
Oh, my God.
Well, that you're allowed to do indoors.
Yeah, you can set the skirts on fire. Thank God.
So. We've had, I was thinking about this the other day, about the no smoking rules. You can't smoke at the radio station. Yet we have had 3 guests that come to mind who didn't care what the law was, and it was our problem. Dennis Leary. Right. Refused to not smoke when he was in.
Right.
Courtney Love refused to not smoke when she came by.
Right.
And David Lynch is the third. He's I'm David Lynch and I'm
smoke. Just started smoking, so I hope you don't mind if I light up here in your studio.
Exactly.
You know, else didn't care was Heroin Boy. What's his name? STP.
Scott Weiland.
Yeah.
Oh, him too.
Yeah,
okay.
Weiland didn't care.
Yeah. There are a few people who just say, look, not my problem. Do whatever you're going to do. This is what I'm doing.
Well, it comes with a when you live in the rarefied atmosphere of privilege, and you're rich and famous and you're used to people kowtowing to you, right. you start doing whatever you want to do.
Weiland was especially hard to understand because he was warming up to sing and was having a hard time hitting notes this early in the morning.
Right.
So he said, why not smoke a cigarette to help that?
Well, Mike, if you knew anything, you would know that cigarettes help your throat and lungs.
That's true.
Sheesh. Learn something.
It's like working with an amateur. I know.
I'm sorry, guys. I apologize.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow. 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 Biggest list ever, I think. March 26th may be biggest celebrity birthday day in the history of the year.
All right.
Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock.
Wow.
Celebrates his 79th birthday today. He's a good guy.
What was that?
I said you're a good guy, Leonard.
What was that?
I said you're a good guy. Alan Arkin, one of my favorite actors, 76 years old today. He, of course, was in the Sunshine, Little Miss Sunshine. Remember he was the grandfather in that?
Yes.
Also in Sunshine Cleaning. Yep. He specializes in Sunshine movies. He was in Get Smart, played the chief in Get Smart recently.
But he wasn't in the movie Sunshine, though, which is kind of weird
that
to me.
That is weird. What are you doing? I'm on Arkin. No. I don't want to do that. And he's 76 years old. James Caan, 70 years old today.
Caan!
Diana Ross celebrates her 66th birthday. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 62. Martin Short. From Saturday Night Live and The Three Amigos and SCTV, 60 years old today. Lisa Gibbons, formerly of Entertainment Tonight, is 53. Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing is 50 years old. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos is 44. James Iha from The Smashing Pumpkins is 42 years old today. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 37. Rapper Juvenile is 35. Uh-oh. Actress Amy Smart is 35 as well. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 25th birthday.
25th?
She's 25th. Only 25.
That's all she is.
Wow.
Did I lie, though? Is that a jam-packed birthday?
Jam, piggity-piggity-packed.
Cut yourself a slice of cake and enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A boo-boo!
7 K-Rock.
A boo-boo!
KROQ, it is 6:23. Hey, all the King of Mexico is talking about is the impending release of Step Up 3D, but that's not here yet, right, Ralph?
No, not yet. It's not ready yet. IMAX 3D.
I know. I mean, he's in that movie. He's in Step Up 3D, right? Is that why he's so excited about it?
That's what
he
says. He was on the set. I know that much.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I think he's in it. I mean, I think he's in it.
Can you imagine Dave in 3D in IMAX
dancing? I did a little bit hip hop. I did some ballet. I did some crunk.
I can't wait. All right. So no Step Up 3D this week, and let's find out what else you have to choose from. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man. Who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
About a half a dozen new movies in Cineplexes this weekend. Some smaller, some larger. All of them interesting, though. It's a good batch this weekend. Let's take a look at some of them, shall we? Chloe opens in limited release this weekend, directed by Adam Egoyan. And no, it's not Chloe Kardashian. It's about a girl named Chloe. Who is a escort. She is a hooker. She is a courtesan. She is a pleasure provider. She is a young lady who will exchange physical pleasure for money. Played by Amanda Seyfried.
Okay.
And she is hired by a woman played by Julianne Moore to seduce her husband, Liam Neeson, who she suspects is cheating.
She's setting him up.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
I wish my wife would set me up like that.
No kidding.
But unforeseen circumstances arise when Catherine, played by Julianne Moore, starts to have sexual feelings towards Chloe herself.
There it is.
Now we're talking. When can I see this?
You can see it now in theaters everywhere. It opens today in limited release. I don't know if you can see it up there in the Ozarks where you live, but in the major cities, it is in limited release today.
Hey, Ralph, isn't Amanda Seyfried the same one who was in Jennifer's Body making out with Megan Fox?
Yes.
That's her.
Yep.
So what's her M.O.? Is it just...
Lesbian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
She was in Big Love, of course, also. She was in Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Big Lesbo and Mamma Mia.
That's right, yeah. Here's a scene from Chloe where Julianne Moore, as I mentioned, plays the wife of Liam Neeson, who is hiring Chloe for a little skullduggery.
I don't usually meet with women. Couples, yes, but single woman. Thank you.
I think my husband would like you.
Do you choose this woman for him?
No.
He can't come in himself.
No. My husband's cheating on me. At least I think he is. I want to find out.
see what he does if you present yourself to him.
Most of my clients are married.
He's not the client.
Nice.
Popcorn
sounds
trick.
Intriguing.
Yeah, check it out. How to Train Your Dragon. I was training my dragon while I was listening to that clip from Chloe, quite frankly. Also opens this weekend. This is in 3D. It is animated. It is based on the popular children's book. And by all accounts, just a great time for kids at the movies. You can check it out. Gerard Butler is one of the voices in this, as well as Christopher Mintz-Plasse, soon to be seen in Kick-Ass as well. Here's a scene from How to Train Your Dragon where Hiccup is having a heart-to-heart with his dad, who is also a Viking, and talking to him about dragons and how he feels about them.
I have to talk to you, Dad.
I need to speak with you too, son.
I think it's time you learned to fight dragons.
What? You go first.
No, you go first.
You get your wish. Dragon training. You start in the morning.
Oh, man, I should have gone first. Because I was thinking, you know, we have a surplus of dragon-fighting Vikings, but do we have enough bread-making Vikings or small home repair Vikings?
You need this.
I don't want to fight dragons.
He doesn't want to fight dragons.
No. Aww.
And he ends up befriending a dragon, and he trains him, and he becomes his pet. But that's sort of, you know, not allowed in the Viking community.
They don't take that.
So he has to be a secret friend to the dragon. But then they all learn an important lesson by the end.
This looks based cute. On a true story, right?
Oh, this looks cute. I'm all in favor of How to Train Your Dragon. And then Hot Tub Time Machine.
There it is.
Opens today as well. I had a chance to see this movie and loved it. John Cusack, Rob Corddry, Craig Robinson, Clark Duke. It's a hilarious comedy about four guy friends who have just pretty much screwed up their lives. Get a chance to travel back to 1986 and fix some things in their lives that maybe if they had known better back then, they would have done things differently. John Cusack, it's so great to see John Cusack playing a grown-up version of the teenager he was in all those 80s comedies. You know, you get to see that again. Craig Robinson is hilariously funny. We get to see him sing as well as make us laugh. Rob Corddry, however, steals this movie by far. He is the a-hole friend that everybody has that really just screws everything up for everybody. It is a hilarious film. I was bummed when it was over. I would like to see these guys more and more and more. Maybe there'll be a sequel. Maybe Hot Tub Time Machine 2 will rear its head for us. But here is a scene for Craig Robinson that he is the first guy to realize once they land in the 80s that maybe they're a little bit out of their own time.
Something weird's going on.
Literally dramatic.
Yo, I have a question.
Dude is rocking cassette player.
Just relax. I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation.
Drink, warmers! Jerry girl!
Excuse me, miss. What color is Michael Jackson?
Black.
See, Michael Jackson's not black. He's dead now. But back then, he was still black. It's a very funny movie. It's got a lot of laugh-out-loud moments. But the strongest suit, I think, is that the guys are all such good actors that they play characters you actually care about. So that keeps you engaged in the film for the whole time. And stick around for the closing credits, too. Some very funny stuff at the end of the film. Hot Tub Time Machine. I recommend it highly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I know you're waking up. You're going about your day on a Friday. You're thinking, I'm not angry about anything. That's only because you haven't heard Adam Carolla yet. He'll figure out some way to get you enraged as he is. The Week in Rage with the Ace Man coming up in about 20 minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail we have set up. You can call us 24 hours a day, leave a message. We get some calls on all sorts of topics, including, remember a couple of days ago we were doing a phone topic about movies that you otherwise enjoyed, except there was one scene in it that was so bad.
Yeah.
People were talking about the dancing scene at the end of Alice in Wonderland right now. There's one scene that just kind of ruined the whole film for you. And for whatever reason, people started calling in, and most of their complaints was too much penis in the movie. Yeah. A lot
and
of wiener
all the
talk.
Men.
A lot of wiener, yeah.
Yeah, that yeah. was their problem.
Hey, I love to watch men, but what's with the penis? Well, that's what this first Afro call is about.
Hey, remember that movie that was awesome until they showed dong? That was awesome. So they showed the dong.
That's a deal breaker, I guess, for that dude. A lot of talk about whether marijuana will finally be legalized in the first state of the union. It's on the ballot in California. This guy disagrees.
Why would we ever give the government millions more tax dollars to misuse? Never legalize it. them. Keep the profit in the streets. I have friends that feed their families from selling weed. What, my friend loses his livelihood because they want to get on board now? Uh-uh. Keep the profit for us. Screw the government.
USA! 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 I love it when celebrities occasionally will take the time to pick up the phone and dial the Kevin and Bean Afro line.
Hi, this is Buzz, and I spell astronaut with two S's. Get it?
Pretty creepy.
Here's, I've listened to this one, and then I went back and listened to it again, and all I have to say is, what the F?
Ralph, I am Sharktopus. I am pissed. Send me oats. I'm hungry!
What? Anyone? Sharktopus with a horse? And what's a,
I thought
what's
it
going
was
on?
Maybe a Sarah Jessica Parker
That's what I was
thing,
expecting,
but
too, but I listened to it again, and I don't get it. I'm sorry.
No.
From time to time, Ralph Garman gets called out on his super annoying Philadelphia accent. Here's one of those.
Ralph, stop it. It's pronounced horrible. Not horrible. Horrible. You don't call them hars. They're whores. Hey, Lisa.
Speaking of Lisa, here's a fan of yours, Lisa, who also happens to be a fan of HBO boxing announcer Jim Lampley and his style.
Yeah, I came across Lisa May's sex tape. I can't really send it to you, but I can try to narrate. Let's see here. Play. One thrust, two thrust, five thrust, six thrust, bang, 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 body shot, body shot, ooh, body shot, body shot, oh, don't it go sometime, Lisa May? Oh, yeah, body shot, bang, bang, oh, oh, that's good sex tape.
Okay.
One more fan of Lisa's.
Shut up, Lisa. Keep your big whorish mouth closed.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fan right there.
What's that about? All right. Speaking of whores keeping their mouths closed, we were having a discussion the other day, which I think was a reasonable point of view that we presented, and we all agreed. I think Lisa may have protested, but we were talking about if your mistress, if your woman on the side is going to talk, if she's going to be one of those kind of girls, like all these girls coming forward with Jesse James, clearly you let her know that you'll kill her before you let her talk, right? That's how you keep her in line.
Yeah.
We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Now, it totally made sense to me. Sounds reasonable, good policy, way to live your life. But for some reason, when this guy calls in with the same idea, it sounds creepy, and now I'm scared.
Whores are just holes. They fill a void. When they begin to talk, we become annoyed. So before the payoff, to keep secrets unsaid, the whores that don't shut their mouths are better off dead.
All right, I'm off now. I'm pulling back from that policy.
Is it
now.
The rhyming? Is it just add that little bit of extra creepiness factor?
I don't know. It's creeped me out now, so I take it all back. I don't believe any
Thank
of that
you.
Anymore. And finally, you know, the census has got a little bit of an uphill climb with some people. The government's trying to get everybody to fill out their forms and send them back. Costs a lot of taxpayer dollars if we don't, because now they got to send somebody over your house to find out why you haven't filled yours out yet. And that's why they are enlisting, in this case, celebrities to try to get the word out.
Hi, I'm Mayor Ramirez. I play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'm here to encourage you to fill out your census form. Don't worry if it doesn't make census when you open it. It will. It only took me 6.5 hours to fill out my census. They just want to know things about you. I put down, I live with a lollipop. I have dust mites under my bed. The clown from Poltergeist scared me a lot. I sing a song. So all you got to do is fill out your census form and send it to the government, and they'll take all your money. All right.
Oh, man, he has a horn. 323-520-AFRO. Call us anytime you think about it. Quick break. We'll be back with Ralph Showbizby right after this on the
Owl.
Cypress Hill, new record coming out on April 20th. What an astonishing coincidence that that drops on 420. How about that?
What?
It's Hitler's birthday? Is that the coincidence?
KROQ, it is 6:53. Dear Bean, while you're on vacation last week, Ralph decided to buy a racehorse while he was drunk at St. Patrick's Day. He suggested that he would name the horse Shocktopus. That's what the Afro call was.
Shocktopus, not Shocktopus. Shocktopus.
Right. That's what the Afro call was about that confused me a few minutes ago.
Shocktopus would be an awesome masterpiece song. That'd be awesome.
How
I used to have a sex move called the Shocktopus.
How are you doing with your racehorse? Are you still invested there?
I'm just not answering the phone calls anymore.
I see.
I'm just trying to hope that they'll stop calling.
But when you
no longer want to be involved in the racing business.
When you had a load on, it seemed like the best idea.
I was so excited. I was like, I was moving up in the world. I was going to be a partial owner of a racehorse. Now I sobered up and I said, that's just ridiculous.
Adam Carolla joins us in studio after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Damn you, Sharktopus! You know, we're supposed to talk to the director of Sharktopus later this month. I hope that still happens. He's down in Mexico, running from the law, I think.
Really?
And maybe scouting locations, but mostly running from the law.
I heard he's a traficante. He's been chopping people's heads off, you know, for the cocaine trade, making sure he sends a message to the police.
About Declan O'Brien. didn't strike me as an enforcer for the Mexican cartels.
Yeah. It's unexpected.
It is unexpected. You would never see him coming. Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away. I've been talking all week about how I'm looking forward to Clash of the Titans 3D IMAX, bitches.
Yeah.
Oh, this looks so good. I was a huge fan of the original. I've always, my whole life, for some reason when I was a young kid, I was always taken by Greek mythology. I've always loved those stories. And Clash of the Titans is one of my favorites. The story of Perseus. Half human, half god. A titan. Son of Zeus. Who is given the many tasks to complete. One of which is to kill Medusa. Who, you know, Medusa, much like Sandra Oh, will turn you to stone if you look at her face. She's so hideous.
She has snake
hair.
She's
a gorgon. And she has snake hair, exactly. And if you look at her, you will turn to stone. So here's my trivia question for all you Greek mythology fans and people who have seen Clash of the Titans, the original, and hope to see this one. How does Perseus look at Medusa in order to chop her head off? If you look at her, you turn to stone. So how does he manage to look at her when he slays her? How does he get around that little fact? That you would turn to stone if you looked at Medusa. If you know the answer, call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. And if you win, you're one of the first five callers with the correct answer. You get a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans. How about that?
Release the Kraken!
Release the Kraken!
And I'm Buzz.
No, you're not Buzz Aldrin. Sam Worthington stars along with Liam Neeson, a cast of very talented people. So call now if you know the answer. All righty, let's take a look at the showbiz news. Catherine Zeta-Jones thinks today's actresses are just too skinny.
I think she's right.
I think she's right, too. She said that the wave of super skinny women in Hollywood is downright scary. She admits that she is a broad girl, she says. She says she stays fit by staying at the gym, but she will not whittle herself down to a size zero. She says she eats chocolate, ice cream, cake, 3 meals a day, eats like a person. And if you don't like it, take it up with Michael Douglas. Because he likes her just the way she is. I think she's stunning.
Beautiful woman.
I prefer curves. I was looking at Sofia Vergara the other day.
No. Oh, yeah.
As I do every day. And she is just curvy. That's the way a woman should be built.
That's a woman.
That's a woman right there.
I was looking at Gabourey Sidibe the other day. I was thinking the
same
thing.
That is a woman. That's a woman and a half.
Yeah.
That's a lot of woman.
My hands on that.
Yeah. Amy Winehouse.
That's a woman.
She's a woman. Scary woman. She tweeted the other day that she wants to take more driving lessons because she really hasn't mastered the whole driving a car thing.
Yeah.
Do we want her behind a wheel?
No.
No, no, we don't.
And in the same tweet, also talked about how much she'd love to have a machete. She has a desire to own a machete. That's what I want. I want Amy Winehouse behind the wheel of a car with a machete.
Was there any context to the machete?
Nope.
Or is she just,
has a desire for a machete. You don't want a whacked out Amy Winehouse with a machete in a car. That's a bad idea.
Sounds like a Robert Rodriguez movie.
Maybe she wants a Chevy. Maybe she was. Oh. Maybe I misunderstood, but she said machete.
I could understand if that were a Manny Ramirez tweet. I want to drive and have a machete. But it doesn't sound like an Amy Winehouse.
Dancing with the Stars has turned Nicole Scherzinger into a narcissistic monster, according to AbsoluteNow.com. Apparently, she is so dead set on winning the entire competition. She is not only cold to all the other competitors on the set, but has made life at home very difficult for her boyfriend, Lewis Hamilton. She's got a do-or-die attitude. She won't focus on anything else. It's just not a pleasant person to be around, says sources. So she's the real deal. She's got the eye of the tiger. She's locked in.
Win it.
She is super
hot. She's in the zone. I watched the other night. I watched the opener. And it's just not fair. It's not fair.
Yeah, it isn't. You shouldn't put someone
this is a woman
like
who's been dancing on stage for I don't know how long, but is used to being choreographed and just she looked like a pro out there compared to the rest of them, like Buzz Aldrin, for example.
And I'm Buzz.
Who looked like he had been hit with a trank dart and was just stumbling around the dance floor.
Well, would you also argue that the ice skater has an unfair advantage, too, because of the choreography background?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, they tend to win. Not as much as a professional dancer.
Yeah, I mean, that
because
is
he's
what
used
they do.
To skating and dancing, although both are athletic and graceful, competitive, you know, events, are not really that similar because with the stepping with dancing is very different
right,
than
but he's,
ice skating.
He's at least accustomed to like hitting marks and timing and holding
and working
posture.
Using
his body,
hard
filling the space with his body.
Because
stuff,
like Chad Ochocinco, incredibly athletic.
Yes.
You know, and you can see that he's gifted athletically, but he has no idea what to do like as far as dancing goes. And Nicole Scherzinger, like you said, she looks like a pro out there.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
It might be interesting to go back and take a look at the list of winners and see how many have had the dancing background. I know one that comes to mind is Donny Osmond, who would have had the same advantage from doing a Las Vegas show with lots of dancing.
And Lance Bass won, right? Didn't he?
Lance Bass? I think
one of the boy banders too.
Yeah. So I guess it has paid off for those people.
And before I get to the winner of the trivia question, I want to give congratulations to the Beatles. They have yet another honor to their endless list of accomplishments. The Digestive Care of Florida, who, of course, is spotlighting their National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, has given the Beatles the Best Colonoscopy Song. They have won the Best Colonoscopy Song.
Okay.
The best song to have a colonoscopy to, apparently, is The Long and Winding Road. There was a competition. Second place was Backdoor Man by The Doors.
Oh, it was not.
It was a three-way tie for third place. Someone Saved My Life Tonight by Elton John, Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, and Pants on the Ground by General Larry Platt. So, congratulations to all the nominees, but the Beatles have won. See if we have a winner of my trivia question. Let's talk to Jason, shall we? Oh, I wonder who's with his Argonauts.
Really?
Speaking of the Greeks. Jason?
Yes, sir?
How did Perseus see the Gorgon Medusa in order to slay her?
He looks in the reflection of his shield.
The reflection of his shield, of course, given to him by Athena. God bless her. Congratulations, you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans.
Awesome.
Hold on, we'll give you all the details. Also, congratulations to Chris and Ryan and Kevin and Anthony. See? Dudes. All dudes. Smart. Dudes are smart.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Dudes know things.
And what do chicks know?
Oh, for God's sake.
See? Nothing. See? Hear that?
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, I just don't have time. It's already 7 o'clock.
And there's
too many. I got like 27 birthdays to list here. So let's just wish happy birthday to everyone born on the 26th, shall we?
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Kevin and Bean Show. Iceman, get it on.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla in the house. Adam Carolla, of course, stops by every Friday. He'll have the Weekend Rage in a few minutes. And, of course, he's here to pimp out his tickets. You got all sorts of upcoming events in Southern California that people can buy tickets through adamcarolla.com to come see you and your cavalcade of guest stars live on stage. And I know that is a blast because I listen to the podcast. So definitely check it out if you want to see it. Hey, since the last time I saw you, Ace Man, Psycho Mike was promoted to your old job. He's working with Dr. Drew on the Love Line. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Huh?
What? I said I could never be replaced. But Drew said he wouldn't work with anyone else. He said it was like one of those things where he said he'd never love again. Well, and now he's remarrying?
Apparently he's remarrying a younger, hotter man.
He's traded up for
always happens.
Trophy host?
Exactly.
It's true.
I just wondered if you had any advice or anything like that. You're a guy who co-hosted that show with the Good Doctor for many, many years. What should Mike expect? What should he know as he prepares to take over this week?
Well, you don't need to have your headphones on. You can turn them all the way down. But if you see Drew's mouth moving, jump in and start talking, because the show really grinds to a halt when you see his mouth start to move. Now, once in a while, he'll be yawning over something you're saying. Don't jump in on that. But if you just focus on his mouth when you see it move, dive in. That's
right.
What you need to do it.
Sound advice.
Oh, and by the way, don't let him watch his own television show in studio. That's when the thing really hit a wall. You wouldn't hear from Drew for like 15 minutes, and you'd look over at him, and you'd realize he's watching the premiere of Rape House or whatever he's working on now.
Right.
So don't let him watch his own show, because he'll say he thinks he can multitask. He cannot multitask. He'll say, okay. Oh, I was listening. I can watch my show and answer the teen calls. He cannot do that. So don't no TV, and don't let him talk. Other than that, do your thing.
All right, got it.
All
thanks.
Right. Good advice. I know we're a few minutes away from the Weekend Rage, but what else is on your mind today, Adam?
Well, I was watching Dancing with the Stars, as I'm apt to do, on Monday. I think I'm going to be on it on Tuesday, if kids want to check that out. But I watched Niecy Nash do her dancing. And by the way, every year, the funnest part about Dancing with the Stars is I inevitably run into the makeup artist or the hairstylist or whoever, and I ask them who the pain in the ass is every year.
Because you were the pain in the ass the year you did it,
I was the diva the year me and Penn Jillette were, because we have the hair, quite honestly. The extensions, the time it takes under the dryer. I mean, it's just, anyway. The point is, you radio guys wouldn't know from hair. The point is I said, who's the pain in the ass? Niecy Nash. That's what I heard this year.
Really?
I didn't get 10 seconds into it. And that's what they throw at. Like, once in a while, it's funny, because I'll say to a photographer, too, like, hey, who's been the biggest pain? And they'll just toss the name out. Jeremy Piven. It just comes, like, flying out of their mouth before. It's almost like they had a chamber just dying to say it. So then I saw Niecy do her dancing, and she had a little dedication after her dance. Let's hear that song.
All right, that's 18 out of 30. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'm dedicating my performance to thick girls everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Love that you're embracing the woman. All right.
Brooke Burke, by the way.
Yeah, who's a size zero.
The mop handle with the fake teats has got to say that she loves the cheer. Of course, I'd love it if all chicks were fat, too. Awesome. More penis for me. Put that on a cart, by the way. See, that's how we do it on Loveline.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, you put more penis for me on a cart, and then Anderson would play it over and over until I wanted to throw a folding chair through the glass. But the point is this. Let's stop doing that. Hey, with the thick girls. Hey, Precious is over. Let's get in now. And stop pandering for votes, you know? I wasn't up there doing Dance with the Stars going, you know what, Tom? I'm just doing this for all the guys out there who are mistaken for Jews.
Just trying to get the call. By the way,
Niecy Nash did eat a cheeseburger before she went out and did her dance. Did you see that, Ace?
I know. She's turned into the George Foreman of Dancing with the Stars. Listen, shed the pounds, get up there, and let's base it on dancing ability, not all the morbidly obese chicks who are home off the sofa who are like, you know what? I'm going to vote for that, Niecy. Where's my phone? Forget it. Give me the bugles.
Well, amen. Great advice. Adam Carolla is here Wednesday night at the Brea Improv, Friday, April 2nd at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. All these shows in Southern California, April 7th at the Ontario Improv. You got to check them out. Tickets and details available at adamcarolla.com. A quick break. The Weekend Rage when we return after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Adam Carolla is here. See him live on stage with his cast of friends Wednesday, March 31st at the Brea Improv, Friday, April 2nd at the Borderline in Thousand Oaks. April 7th, he's in Ontario at the Improv, and he's here with us right now for The Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, number three, working down to number one. Number three, starting off, Bo Bridges. Poor, poor, poor Bo Bridges.
What's your problem with Bo? What's going on there?
My problem with Bo is two things. Jeff and a whale. Because Jeff Bridges won the best acting, you know, won the Oscar like 10 minutes ago. And just as soon, like literally when he was walking off stage, the first commercial they showed was Free Willy 13 Escape from Pirate's Cove, straight to Blu-ray, starring who?
Oh.
Bo Bridges.
Oh, really?
That's a rough year.
Yeah.
That's got to be. What'd you do this year, Bo? Oh, something called Free Willy 25. Oh, how about your brother, Bo? Oh, he got the Academy Award! I wish that goddamn whale would land on him. That's gotta suck. Bo's done some good work. They've both done some good work separately. They've done the Baker Boys together. I'm just saying, the one goddamn year he brings home the trophy, and you gotta come out with Free Willy, the prequel, straight to DVD with Bindi Irwin. Who are you starting with? The Alligator Hunters, kid. You know, Bindi, she's a hell of an actress. She's got a lot of range. She's rangy for a four-year-old who likes, you know, gators. I'm just saying, it's got to be rough on Bo. Bo's not showing his face for a while. And plus, everyone says, hey, what's your brother think? How come we couldn't get your brother on the show? Can you call your brother up? Oh, that's got to blow ass. Yeah. All right, so too bad for that. And straight to Blu-ray, too. Didn't even hit the theaters, right?
Nope.
Right to DVD.
Nope.
Free Willy, let it die. By the way, could there be worse timing? They release, not only does your brother get the Academy Award, but Shamu eats its owner.
Right.
Pow, here we go, buddy. Hey, world, here I am with the killer. I got an Orca CD. Who wants one? We're still mourning. All right. Now, number two, bags. Grocery bags. Let me tell you something about grocery bags. They put a handle on them. It seemed like a good idea, except for the part where the handle doesn't work. What? Except for the part where the handle pops off all the time, and yeah. It doesn't give you any heads up. Here's all I'm saying. Sometimes it works. Don't give me that look, Tammy. Sometimes, Lisa. Whatever you're going by this week. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but you don't know when they're not going to work, and I want a little heads up, like an old wooden bridge, you know, that creaks a little. Uh-oh, the old bridge is giving way. We better get moving, not whoop-pow, bang. You know what I mean? You're, 1 minute, you're holding it over your head. The next minute, everything's on the floor, and you start getting cocky. You get that handle on the bag, and you're like, You know what? I could make a cell phone call and carry this bag of Gatorade, eggs. If you take, try to, don't say Gatorade and eggs fast at the same time. It's going to come out as just AIDS. Unfertilized AIDS. The point is this. Make the handle, make it work, or get rid of it. It's something, a handle that breaks off is more dangerous than no handle at all. Like the great Ben Franklin used to say. All right, moving on to number one. In the food department, cherry tomatoes. Had an impacted ass full of these cherry tomatoes. I'm done with the cherry tomatoes. You know why? They got too big. See, everything is grown. The peaches have grown. The nectarines have grown. Everything's grown, by the way, and gotten bad. They've gotten all mealy and weird, and everything sucks. Everything looks good, but it tastes crappy. It's like it's all on creatine, and it sucks. But cherry tomatoes, they've grown, and now cherry tomatoes are big. They're too big to pop in your mouth, and you can't cut them because you can't hold them down. Can't get a fork in them, can't get a knife in them. They scurry away. They're like cockroaches. And they're just these weird, sort of sour, thin-walled things filled with pus. We have Roma tomatoes, and we have baby Roma tomatoes now, which are delightful. I'm saying the day of the cherry tomato is gone, and what else is bigger than what it's named after? Think about it. Cherries are actually smaller than cherry tomatoes. You don't see that anywhere else in life. I'm saying once the cherry tomato has become the size of a tennis ball, it's no longer a cherry tomato. We have Romas. We have beefsteaks. We have mini Romas. No more cherry tomatoes. I've had an ass full of them. Thank you.
I didn't realize there was a crisis in the tomato community, but apparently you've crystallized it for me.
Wake up!
How did I miss it? Adam Carolla on stage. Three big shows coming up. Go to adamcarolla.com to buy your tickets. You must see it in person. Have a great weekend, Ace. Thanks for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys.
My earliest memory as a child is me on a motorcycle. We were poor, and my parents sacrificed everything to steer me into motocross. We found Florida property in the middle of the ghetto, getting bigger with every race I won, and I won a lot. Today, I'm the number one motocross racer in the world, the fastest man on the planet, and the first African-American champion in my sport. My personal sacrifice is giving up a normal life. But this summer, for the first time in my life, I'm about to take a break and see what the rest of the world is like. I'm James Stewart, but some call me Bubba.
Supercross legend with a new TV show debuting this Sunday night, Lisa May, on 5 channels at the same time. That is either real commitment or a network that is desperate for programming. Let's find out which. Bubba joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, James, how are you, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us. I don't think I've ever seen a show debut on 5 channels at once. What's going on with that, dude?
I'm going to have to go with the first one. Totally committed. So, I think... you know, hopefully the show will be pretty good. Like, I'm excited about it. Like, it was the fun to do, and for me, it's different. You know, I'm about to have my own, like, TV show. So, like, wow.
Yeah, you sure are. Fuel, Fox Sports Net, Speed, Fox College Sports, easy for me to say, and Fox Reality Channel. That's all going to be at 9 o'clock this Sunday night. So what made you want to do a reality show? I mean, obviously you have an interesting life for the rest of us, but what's in it for you? Why did you want to do it?
Well, I think, you know, I love my fans. I'm all about my fans, so... you know, to kind of give it like a different insight of what I do. And I think, you know, I think that people are going to really enjoy, you know, what really goes on in, you know, professional athlete's life and going from being the top to like, you know, just basically hanging out. But also, you know, it's just, you know, to get the sport of motocross out there. You know, not a lot of people know what supercross and motocross is and you know, hopefully they catch it and want to watch it so they understand what it's all about.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's certainly not as true now as it was a few years ago before the X Games became so popular. I mean, I'm sure a lot more people are into the sport than have ever been into it before, thanks to that kind of exposure from ESPN and other networks, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. ESPN has done a lot, you know, from even with the freestyle. You know, the freestyle really kind of kicked in with Travis Pastrana, and, you know, they kind of start thinking about, like, they didn't know what exactly what Supercross was, but they knew motocross and, I mean, motorcycles and doing the backflips and all that. So it kind of started with that. And now, you know, since the X Games is so huge, like you said, you know, the Supercross has been a big part of that. And, you know, so a lot of people do, but maybe not like just the normal who watches American Idol or things like that don't, you know. So it's hopefully bring it out.
What do you think is going to surprise people the most that they don't expect to see going on in Bubba's life when they watch this TV show?
You know, I think a lot. You know, I think a lot. I think the cool part is about my show is that, like, you know, you'll see how busy I am, like, you know, traveling across the country and stuff like that. Like, it's just different, you know. It's a reality TV show, so, you know, things that surprise me might not surprise anybody else. But, you know, basically it's about my life, and you know, I had a chance to take off a summer, and now, you know, I took it off, and, you know, I go down to Orlando, have some fun, and I, you know, buy a new house in there, you know, have a lot of crazy friends. But, you know, you also get to meet who my family is. Like, it's one of those shows that, you know, you got to watch. You know, you got to watch to really understand it and stuff, and I think it's going to be pretty good.
Speaking of your family, I got two questions on that front. One is, you're used to being on camera and in the media and being scrutinized. What was it like for other members of your family who have been private up to this point? And two, how supportive have they been throughout the years of your choice of career?
Well, to answer your first question, I don't know. They haven't been really scrutinized yet because the show hasn't came out. So, you know, they'll find that out, you know, pretty quickly and stuff like that. But, you know, again, my family is my family. You know, we live in Haines City, Florida. You know, we're, you know, country people. I get to fly across the country and be the superstar or whatever you want to call it, and they're behind it. And then, you know, second, like, I think it's, you know, they've been supportive of everything I do. You know, I feel like I'm the one who has to go out there and take the risk and stuff. And, you know, they've been supportive. You know, we have love. And, you know, when I finish racing, you know, they're still going to be the same people behind me. So, you know, sometimes maybe they don't like some of the things I do. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all in it together.
Yeah. We're talking to James Bubba Stewart, by the way, about Bubba's World, his new show debuting this Sunday night on a bunch of channels, including Fuel at 9 o'clock. You know, we have had Shaun White on the show a number of times, including right when he got back from winning his latest gold medal at the Olympics. And we were talking about how, you know, guys 23, 24 years old, just like you, with a fair amount of time off, lots of money, and lots of fame. How is it you guys don't all end up in trouble or in jail?
Well, you know, first of all, I think it's a good, you know, family kind of thing. But, you know, we come from, like, such, you know, our backgrounds are just different. You know, like, I race motorcycles and stuff like that. And, like, yeah, I fly across the country. I'm in, you know, stadiums packed. You know, I have a bunch of fans. But to me, like, the superstardom part don't, like, really get to me. Once you see my show, like, you'll see, like, just going out to a dinner and movie. Like, I don't like going to clubs. I don't like going out and doing this stuff. Like, yeah, I do it, but, like, that's not my everyday routine. And you know, and we just know how important, like, our image is, and, you know, and how we really care about what we do. We're really passionate about what we do. And plus, like, when you're just another person in the sport, you know, you're always looking for something to separate you from everybody else. When you're like Shaun White, like myself, Travis Pastrana, and all these guys, you are the sport, you know, so you're carrying the whole sport on your back. So, you know, your attitude and how you have to hang out with people and, you know, be in front of people, like, it has to be completely different compared to if you're just a part of a team or anything else.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. A couple more quick questions for you, Bubba, and we appreciate your time here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. What's it like for you to try to date and separate those people who might really like James Stewart versus those people who are in love with Bubba, the superstar athlete?
Well, you got to have, like, that BB Gone spray or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. You just, you know, you have to figure it out. You know, you could tell pretty quickly. It just depends where you meet them at, you know, or you know, how they recognize you and stuff. But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm having fun. You know, I love doing what I do, and, you know, it's part of it. You know, I don't
end up like Jesse James. That's what I'm telling you, Bob, all right?
I guess that's the next show, huh? You know, I'll be
having
a show,
exactly.
Whatever. But, you know, I don't know. I'm pretty good at picking all this stuff out.
All right, last question for you. I know you rub shoulders with a bunch of famous people in your line of work, and even you get starstruck sometimes. I understand since the last time we had you on that you met President Barack Obama. Tell me about that.
Maybe in my dream.
Oh, you never did?
No, I've never met him. You know,
I thought you did. I thought I heard you did. Okay.
No. I mean,
Season two, then.
Yeah, season two. Maybe I have, and I just haven't figured that one part out. But no, I haven't, man. That's one thing that I would love to. Yeah.
James, I had a question along those same lines. Being that you're such a trailblazer in Supercross and Motocross, how well have you been received by the African American community?
I've been received well. You know, really well. You know, but just because, like, my whole thing is, it's like, I'm with one of my big sponsors is Samuel and Red Bull and stuff, and we go to, boys and girls clubs around the country, and, my whole thing is, when I go to these kids and stuff, like, they know who Kobe Bryant is and LeBron James, these, basketball players, and Reggie Bush, but, like, when I come in there, and I'm a motocross guy, I'm not necessarily on the lines of the everyday sport. So when I go in there, I try to preach to them, like, look, man, like, I chose motocross, I'm the first, black person in motocross. So, like, for you, like, look, you can be a school teacher, you can be, Barack Obama, like, you can do whatever you want, because I chose a sport that's not necessarily the path that everybody else going down.
Right.
And, like, so I try to preach to them, like, look, man, like, you can, do whatever you want. And it's cool to come into, these boys and girls clubs and see these kids look at me and find a new sport that, they fell in love with. And, I'm their hero, so it's pretty nice.
The show is called Bubba's World. Look for it on Fuel Sunday nights. It debuts this Sunday night across 5 cable channels. James Bubba Stewart, great to catch up with you again, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys. Take it.
Kevin and Bean Show here. I'm going to be listening to your show, Biz Beat. I'm excited to hear what you have to say, Ralph, but I'm a little distracted because I'm on lesbianswholooklikejustinbieber.com right now at the same time. So I'm trying to take care of it. You can understand how I couldn't pull myself away from that.
Sure.
So
feel free.
Anyway. I'll be doing that over here, and you go ahead and talk about whatever it is you've got.
Fair enough.
Cardi Montag has got some post-Hills plans. Has been announced this week that after 6 seasons of filming, MTV is finally pulling the plug on the Hills, allowing it to reach its organic conclusion, they say. What on that show has ever been organic?
Yeah, no kidding.
Everything's always been manufactured, including Heidi Montag's bust. Well, it looks like Heidi has some post-Hills plans she's very excited about. She told People magazine this week, "I'm so excited the Hills is finally over, and now I can become a full-time motion picture actress. There's no better training for an actor than being in front of the cameras 24/7. That's true. That's why Bob Costas is such a good actor. She says she has a dream of starring and producing her own script that Heidi has written, in which she plays a lifeguard named Summer. "I am making the first 3D beach comedy about a shark that attacks a small beach town, and I save the day with my 3D boobs.
I will pay to see that.
I've even written a role for Dolly Parton to play the town mayor. I am now finally free to start my new career, and my new life as a female mogul in Hollywood," Heidi adds.
Wow.
Even though the project has yet to be greenlit.
Her 3D boobs. All right.
Is Spencer going to be in it?
Probably. I'm sure he'll be in it. He'll probably play the shark.
Here I come.
Flesh-colored beard.
Gonna get ya.
Why don't you just go into porn? Just make a 3D porn movie.
Yeah,
with those giant cans.
That's where she's headed anyway.
You're
going
to end up there. Cut to the chase.
I'd like to see her naked.
Yeah. All right, I want to give you a heads up. A lot of stuff going on this week that I wanted to tell you about. First and foremost is Big Brother 12 is looking for contestants to live in the Big Brother house. If you live here in Southern California, it's happening tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 650 North La Cienega Boulevard. You can go to cbs.com/bigbrother for more info, and you should complete the application actually on that website before you come down and check it out. But Big Brother 12, looking for
Do you win money if you win that show? Is that how it works?
The last person there wins, I think, like $500,000 to $250,000, something like that.
Oh, all right.
I think it's $250,000, I think $250,000. It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
For living in a house.
Yeah.
Like Survivor, you have to eat tarantulas and crap. You just have to live in a house, swim.
I couldn't do it though. No TV, no internet in the Big Brother house.
Oh, why don't you just get into your saline deprivation tub and relax in there?
I want to expand my mind.
I could do it without it. Except the internet for 15 minutes.
But that's for an hour, though, and then you're done. You go back to your regular life. Big Brother house, you go in there, you stay there for weeks. No,
you wouldn't. They'd throw you out in a day, so that wouldn't be a problem.
The other downfall for you and Big Brother is you have to get along with other people.
Oh, not for me.
Do they put a lot of booze in the Big Brother house?
Yes, I believe there's a fully stocked bar in there. Of course, it's a reality television.
Yeah,
I'm just making sure. It's not reality unless they juice you up and go.
I know it's really popular. I've never watched it. So there's probably a lot of humping on that show.
There's been some humping. Usually they don't see it on the regular show, but they have what they call Big Brother After Dark that they put on the internet or one of the other CBS channels, apparently, and then they show
the Showtime, I think.
Show the night scope vision when you see the blankets bouncing around and whatnot.
Yeah, all right.
You should go in, Mike.
No.
You'd be popular on that show.
No, I would not. Yeah. I am a way too private a guy.
You got a big gym there in the backyard. You can just work out all day long.
It would be sweet.
You'd have nothing to do but work out.
I mean, look.
And talk to people and make them crazy with your BS and your attitude.
No, that would be awesome.
You excel at.
I'd bust balls for a half a day and work out, and that would be cool. But as you know, I'm much too much like Bean, and I'd go nuts because I'd have to have my own private room with no cameras and be on the internet and all that.
You are a little Beanish. Don Johnson.
Yeah!
Is reportedly in talks to return to television. He, of course, of Miami Vice fame and Nash Bridges. He is talking to ABC to star in a new comedy called Southern Discomfort.
Oh.
See what they've done?
Oh.
He plays a tough, hardcore conservative Texan whose life is turned upside down when his grown liberal kids move back in with him.
What?
What? That would be crazy, because they're diametrically opposed to each other, and they have many disagreements.
Oh.
Southern Discomfort. ABC, seriously, do yourself a favor.
Dad, I've gone to my Northeastern college, and I've learned that everybody deserves to get married.
What are you talking about? Right. It's Adam and Eve, you don't, not Adam and Steve.
You don't mean the guys who put it in the butt?
There you go.
And speaking of putting it in the butt, the Beatles have been awarded with the best colonoscopy song ever. This according to the National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, people.
Wow.
They had an online contest to determine the top colonoscopy-related song. And the winner, according to voters, is The Long and Winding Road by the Beatles. Backdoor Man by the Doors came in second place.
Come on.
It's true. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees was part of a three-way tie for third, along with Someone Saved My Life Tonight and Pants on the Ground by General Larry
Platt. That has to be a comedy list, because it doesn't make any sense. Nobody wants to hear disco music while they're doing that procedure. And you don't want to move.
The top colonoscopy-related song. So it's the song that ties in to colonoscopies the best.
Oh no, my butt.
That was not one of the competing songs. A lot of listeners, though, however, emailed after I did the story earlier today and said the Beatles song Fixing a Hole might be appropriate.
Oh, as well.
So I'm going to put that on the list and take the vote again. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mr. Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Live long and prosper, my Vulcan
from TV's
friend.
From TV's Fringe, right?
From TV's Fringe, that's right. Speaking of Fringe, if you want to see a sneak peek of the upcoming Fringe season that's coming back in April, they are having one tonight at the Golden Apple on Melrose at 6 p.m.
What was that?
Golden Apple on Melrose Avenue here in Los Angeles, 6 p.m. Golden Apple comic book store, my personal comic book store. That's where I go for all my comic books. They're having a special Fringe event there tonight at 6 o'clock. So go on down and tell Ryan and the gang there I said hi.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Sorry, Mr. Spock. Alan Arkin is 76 years old today. James Caan is 70.
Caan!
Oh, man.
DJ Omar Caan.
Put in the file if you want. I'm not taking it back.
I don't think you should.
Diana Ross is 66 years old today. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 62 years old. Can you believe that? Martin Short. Very, very funny man is 60 years old today. Lisa Gibbons is 53. Jennifer Grey is 50. Michael Imperioli celebrates his 44th birthday. James Iha. From Smashing Pumpkins is 42. T.R. Knight, actor from Grey's Anatomy, is 37. Rapper Juvenile is 35. Actress Amy Smart, who we've had on the show several times. She's just adorable. She's 35 as well. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kevin and Bean Show, 8:06.
Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot.
Robin Bean Show, for years we've been talking about those who wish to legalize marijuana or at least decriminalize marijuana in California and other states. And the conversation we've always had usually ends with this, that no politician wants to be that guy that's going to vote for it. Even
right.
though he may privately believe that it should be legalized or decriminalized, nobody wants to go on record and say that in a vote, because then you're just doing nothing but giving ammunition for the other side to use against you. Well, that's why the state of California is making some news right now, because the people have gotten enough signatures to put it on the ballot in November. I'm sure it's going to be a long and drawn-out battle of words and a legal fight, no matter which way the vote goes. And we thought we'd get some more perspective on this from the Los Angeles Times. John, is it John Heffel? Is that right, John?
Heffel.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling us, being back on the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you so much for that.
Sure,
and the
no
reason
problem.
This is significant news, of course, is not just for those of our listeners in California, is because oftentimes a trend will start in a state like California and then move throughout the rest of the country. If it's successful in California, it could easily be on 20 other states' ballots within a few years, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly what happened with medical marijuana, which passed in 1996. California was the first, and now it's spreading across the country. It may even be in D.C.
And that has sure been a smooth ride, hasn't it?
Yeah. And this will be too.
So citizens went out there and got enough signatures in order to put it on the ballot. What happens next? Will it be an entire summer of pro and anti campaign money being spent on this ballot initiative? Is that what happens?
I think it'll take a while for them to ramp up. The main proponent put in about a little more than $1 million to collect the signatures, and now they have to look for more money to pay for the advertising. I think they will probably start on the radio in a couple weeks, sort of, at a lower level, and it will ramp up as we get toward the fall.
Where's the money coming for and against this proposal?
Well, so far, most of the money came from Richard Lee, who's a marijuana entrepreneur from Oakland. He owns Oaksterdam University and a dispensary up there, and has been very active on the issue for many years. He put in about $1.3 million to get it started. Now he hopes to raise the rest of the money from other people and on the web.
Now, who would be the people? What would the motivation be among the people who are raising money to fight it?
Well, there are a number of prominent supporters of relaxing drug laws. George Soros, principal among them. He donated $500,000 when California passed the medical marijuana initiative. And he's been long interested in the issue. George Zimmer, who's the head of Men's Warehouse, is another person. But they expect that they will be able to use the internet to raise a significant amount of money, because there's a very active community of people who support drug legalization.
No, I understand that. I get all those people. I get the Joe Rogans, the Bill Maher's, and the Cypress Hills of the world who want to see it passed. I'm trying to figure out who's going to raise the money against it. What's the motivation going to be?
Yeah, it will be largely law enforcement groups, probably some church groups, anti-drug groups.
Sure.
Maybe businesses, because the law would make it more difficult for businesses to fire people if they tested positive.
Do you think that like alcohol companies are also against this because this becomes competition for them?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I suspect they will not play publicly
publicly.
Now, what's the wording of what will be on the ballot? How far does it go? What areas does it cover?
Kind of does two major things. It legalizes marijuana, at least under state laws, for people 21 and older to possess up to an ounce and to grow up to 25 square feet, in their homes or in their yards. And then it will allow cities and counties in the state to decide whether they want to authorize cultivation and sales and tax it.
That's what I was curious about, because, I mean, on paper, you look at the budget in a state like California and many states across the country, that's got to be a real motivating factor these days. Hey, we can cut teachers or we can start taxing marijuana. Which one is less painful?
That's right. I mean, I think it's one of the principal ways that the proponents are hoping to sell this measure to Californians who are watching, their city governments fire employees and cut services.
Yeah, sure. I would think that would be a big help.
Now, there's been a lot of frustration with a lot of voters at the ballot box in lots of states for lots of different reasons, where you pass something and then for whatever reason it gets overturned. Like something turns out to be unconstitutional after it's already been on the ballot and been voted for, or the legislature figures out a way to circumvent the quote-unquote will of the people. What's likely to happen if this passes in November? What's the next move going to be from those who would like to see it overturned already?
I would imagine they would look for a way to challenge it. They are picking over it right now. It's actually 10 pages long. It's not that simple. So they're sorting through the language to see what might cause problems, what might conflict with, federal law or other state laws. So they will, they'll look at it pretty closely. I don't know if they've settled on any one particular issue yet that they object to.
Yeah, the deal with it being in conflict with federal law is what has caused so much trouble in California with the medical marijuana, too, is because the federal law supersedes it, I guess. And wouldn't that still be the case in this? Even if California legalized it, couldn't law enforcement still say, yeah, but it's still against federal law?
Yeah, they could. You know, state and local law enforcement have to enforce state and local laws, but certainly the federal government could come in and say, we're not going to allow this if particular community or county decided they wanted to authorize sales. I would assume the federal government would have something to say about it.
John, the
drug czar has already been to California speaking to a conference of police chiefs up in San Jose, and most of his speech was against legalization.
Yeah.
You're covering this story for the Los Angeles Times, and of course you're going to have a busy summer ahead with the latest developments. What's your prediction, if you have one, on what will happen? What do the polls tell you right now about how people are likely to vote?
The polls are sort of right down the middle. It's a little, there's a slight majority for legalization right now, but there's a big slice in the middle that they will be fighting over, the undecided voters who classically are soccer moms, and they will make the decision probably.
Our listeners, who are usually too stoned to remember to vote, are really going to be they're going to have to really be motivated to get out there and do this, aren't they?
The proponents are going to try and do their best to motivate everybody who has an interest in this issue to get out. We'll see how they do that. I suspect you'll see a lot of advertising and some pretty creative advertising.
All right. Interesting times. This is something I have to be honest. As many times we've talked about it over the years we've been doing the Kevin and Bean Show, it's not something I ever thought I would actually see finally put to a vote of the people. I can't wait to find out how it happens. And, John, I know you're going to be covering it very closely in the Los Angeles Times. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Foo Fighters on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. You ought to go to krock.com and check out the awesome video up there of Dave Grohl addicted to coffee. Fresh pots! It's very funny.
Fresh pots!
All right, it's 8:23. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about wedding disasters as a topic? How about that? There's been a bunch of stuff in the news lately that has, it's reminded us of the greatest wedding disaster we ever saw, a story that I'll never tire of telling, that we went to former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning's wedding.
Yes.
Number of years ago, now he works very hard behind the scenes on the internet. He's the KevinBean.com guy. And he, his brother gave a toast. His brother was pretty faded by the time it came time for him to give a toast. His brother gave a toast that was so awesome that somebody had to go and take the microphone away from him. It turned into a wrestling match, too. Somebody had to try to forcibly pull the microphone away from the best man who was giving the toast. And it went something like this.
It should have been me. It's not fair that he has everything. He's got a cool job.
That's about right.
To marry a hot lady.
they just are standing there just in horror. There's something about the fact that, it's always funny to see somebody drunk, but when it's at an event like that that's so special that everybody wants to go so perfectly, and it's the couple's very special day, you don't want anything to ruin it for them. It was just horrible, but so, so funny. Although even that story may pale in comparison to two other stories that are ripped right from the headlines this week. And then we're going to take your calls on things that you've seen at wedding disasters that you have been witness to, things that went wrong, fights broke out, people got drunk, someone ended up on an ambulance. We want to hear it all at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a story for real about a woman named Sharon Hancox, a 40-year-old lesbian, ended up being arrested at her own wedding. Apparently, she was angry at the doorman at the hotel where the wedding was being held because he had let in some people to the reception that weren't supposed to be there.
Oh.
Some drunk people crashed the wedding.
Okay.
So she was really ticked off at the doorman at the hotel. Now, I don't know why she chose this way to express her displeasure toward him, but she took off her top and bared her boobs at him and then beat her in the head with a shoe.
Really?
So she's drunk, of course. She took the top off her dress, exposing her breast. Now, how is that punishment to the guy for not doing a good job at gatekeeping?
Maybe she had Gwyneth Paltrow breasts, and they were really bad to look at.
So she was trying to offend her?
But she would. That's not something she would think, that she would go out of her way to try to. I don't understand this at all. But the police were called, and a scuffle ensued, and she ended up being arrested and spent her wedding night in jail before she was released the next day and was able to continue on with her honeymoon. But that's exactly the type of wedding that we're talking about. If you went to a lesbian wedding where one of the brides took her top off, basically, and hit a guy with a shoe, that's the kind of story that we're looking for.
Absolutely.
The other story, and we're not putting this up at kevinandbean.com, but it's on the internet if you want.
I can't believe you're not.
Bean wanted to, and we voted him down.
Well, you were wrong, because everybody wants to see this.
No.
Bean's right. Bean's right. No. Everybody else is wrong.
They can go find it themselves.
You can find it. It's a wedding reception in Russia, and again, a true story. It just happened this week, of a guy who was given a toast in front of the bride and groom, in front of the assembled friends and family that were there, and for whatever reason, he tried to turn it into some sort of routine. He brought a gun with him and simulated Russian roulette there in front of the crowd. Held the gun up to his head, pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. Somebody else, not the guy giving the toast, says, "Ooh, let me try it." Guy hands the gun to him, pulls the trigger. Maybe in that case, there's a bullet in the chamber. Dude gets shot in the head, falls to the ground.
For God's sakes.
That's so intense.
How is that one entertainment at a wedding? Hey, I know what. I'll bring a gun and play Russian roulette.
No, that's horrible. That's dumb. And right from the start, that's dumb. But I was thinking about this. And let's say, heaven forbid, someone dies at your wedding. A heart attack. Stroke, something. You know,
right.
That's terrible. Imagine
that's
how much
terrible.
How much worse it is when a guy explodes his brains all over everybody.
Seems worse. You're never going to get that out of that dress.
That is intense.
That's a great point, Lisa. And let's hope he was standing far enough away from the cake that there's no kind of splatter going on there.
Because
that just means dessert for everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is what's amazing to me, by the way. And I guess I don't know if the laws are different in Russia or what. But the guy was arrested. The guy who handed the gun over to the dude who shot himself in the head was arrested and charged with hooliganism.
Really?
Doesn't it seem like Russian roulette inciting at a wedding reception ought to bring more than hooliganism?
A little bit more, yeah.
I think so. 1-800-520-1067. We got some great calls on hold. We will get to you immediately. We want to take your calls too. Wedding disasters, what have you seen? I don't expect you to top Russian roulette, but I want to hear what you got. We'll take your calls coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Why is that song so good?
All right.
Band out of Australia called The Temper Trap right there on 106.7 KROQ. Maybe you first heard that song like I did in the 500 Days of Summer movie, but that is awesome from their debut album. It is called Sweet Disposition. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:36. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are talking about wedding disasters. Had a couple of great stories, including Russian roulette breaking out at a Russian wedding for reals happened. Guy got shot in the head. Try to top that. 1-800-520-1067. What have you seen at a wedding or a wedding reception that just ruined it for everybody? We're going to start with Sandra, who was a guest at what sounds like a fantastic wedding and party on line 5. Hey, Sandra, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I was at a wedding, and everybody was just drunk off their butts. And a fight broke out in the men's restroom, and it broke out into the reception hall. People were tearing it up. Blood. The cops came, started macing everybody. It was a good time to be had by all.
Are you serious?
The cops started macing everybody to break up the fight?
The police came because, I mean, people were just running amok in there, and they had to mace everybody to get everybody to stop.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Hey, yeah, what was the deal? Yeah. What was the makeup of the clientele at this wedding?
Of course they were Mexican. Hello.
Yeah.
How are we doing? Hello,
everybody,
till the cops
come. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah, I want to go to that. I usually don't like weddings. I would go to that wedding. That sounds like fun. Thank you very much, Sandra. Appreciate that. Let's try Trish. Line 8, please. Trish was the bride, and trouble happened at her wedding. Hi, Trish. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Okay. My wedding in 01, mother-in-law got smacked in the face by swing dancers.
There you go. A little too much excitement on the dance floor. Was she hurt or was it okay?
She was okay, but I mean, she spent the rest of the evening in the kitchen with some ice on her face. But the DJ was a swing dancer, and a girlfriend of mine was there. She did swinging. I don't know what happened, but swing dancing broke out. And just as he flipped her over, my
frail mother-in-law was walking by and just got shellacked on the face.
That's hilarious. That's death by big bad voodoo daddy is what that's called. All right, thank you very much for the call. Line one, please. Let's go to the groom. This is going to be Mike joining us on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Mike, what happened?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, well, I was, my wife and I finished the wedding, we're in the limo going to the reception, popped open the champagne, the cork hit me right in the eye glasses, shattered my glasses, cut my eye open.
Oh,
no.
Did you end up in the emergency room?
The champagne away from you, right? Well, I didn't know at the time.
Did you have to go to the hospital right then?
Yeah, I made this little detour, got butterflied up, bandaged over, and continued on.
How about that? That's not how you want to start married life. That's an awesome story. Thanks, dude. Appreciate that. Let's try Greg. He's a guest at a wedding on line three. Greg, what happened at your wedding?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Hi.
I'm at a wedding. People are dancing. Guy sits down right behind me at the next table. Next thing you know, he keels over, has a heart attack, and dies.
Awesome.
Oh, he died.
He happened to have been a fireman, so there were a fireman there, so half the crowd is screaming. The other half is grabbing him, trying to do CPR. The groom ends up walking out, grabs a bottle of champagne, and all he can say is, why does this happen to me? And the bride just grabbing every other guy going, why can't he pay attention to me?
Oh, man.
That, you know what? I don't care how great the rest of the wedding day is. If somebody dies at your reception, that puts a little bit of a pall on the ceremony, doesn't it?
Come I on. Think so.
Oh, yeah, the marriage lasted about 5 months.
Sounds like...
Oh, that's a bad start. They were cursed from the beginning. All right, dude, thank you so much for the call. Let's try Tony. Tony was the groom in this case. He's on line four. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What happened?
Hey, good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Well, I got married in... night three, my brother and my father-in-law got in a fight. My brother-in-law actually kicked my father-in-law's ass. My father-in-law got a little too drunk and started talking about his Marine days, and my brother, being in the Navy, kind of told him to shut up a little bit, and I was trying to do it secretly, and he just kept getting too loud, and my brother asked my father-in-law to go across the street with him real quick, and when they got off the sidewalk, my brother kicked my father-in-law's ass and made him look like Herman Munster.
His
forehead was, like, really, really bad, and the reception kind of broke up right then and there. Both of our families kind of, like, started getting at each other.
But, Tony, what about you? I mean, you gotta kind of come between those two and try to make order, right? I mean, that's not what you want to do at your wedding reception, but you had to kind of step in, right?
Yeah, I did. I told my brother, I was like, what the hell happened to you and what's going on? And he just was like, dude, never mind. You don't even want to know. And I looked over at my father-in-law, and he just, I swear to you, he looked like Herman Munster. His forehead was just like totally
good times.
Like, yeah, just like
just flat, right? Guys. All right, man, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Alex. He's another groom. He's on line five. By the way, judging from the rate that these calls are coming in, a lot of bad weddings and receptions, a lot of disasters breaking out when a wedding happens. Alex, what's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa Mick.
Hi.
At my own wedding, my best man brought his entire family. They proceeded to get a little tipsy, and it was actually an interracial marriage because my wife at the time was Japanese, and they were sitting next to her parents, and they proceeded to squint their eyes when they're tipsy and start saying "Chickity China," and pretending to do karate right at my
come on, racial taunting at the wedding. Are you kidding me?
I thought it was hysterical, which is part of the reason she's my ex right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Wrong, but funny. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Oh, so many great calls. Let's try Angela. She was a bride with a memorable wedding on line one. Hi, Angela. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What happened?
Hello there.
Hi.
Wedding went great. And towards the end of it, my mother-in-law, she was drunk. She showed up drunk. She was upset and just said, get a divorce already.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, so your new husband's mom was yelling at you to get a divorce at the wedding?
Yes.
Had you had run-ins with her, or had it been okay up till then?
It was okay. I mean, she's already has a drinking problem.
Right, clearly.
Dealt with her from a distance, and she wasn't really involved in the wedding details or anything. We just kept it small.
Mm-hmm.
We did it all ourselves, and it was just this little small wedding, and I think she was upset because she wasn't involved with stuff, or I don't know. So, and she
That's
wanted to
awesome.
take it was towards the end where everyone's taking, you know, flowers and taking cake home and all that. And she was mad because she wanted a certain decoration of flowers. And I said, well, that was for my grandmother. And she just went off and she just said, get a divorce, woman.
All right. Great call, Angela. Thank you. Let's do one more. Let's make it Michael on line two. He was a guest at this particular wedding. And this is what I was hoping for today. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
All right. So I was at the wedding. I step outside for a cigarette, and one of the groom's best friends steps out too. He's a chick walking around. She comes up, starts talking to him. They go to the car, and it happened to be a prostitution bus. The chick was actually a cop.
Oh,
no.
So wait. So this guy was another guest at the wedding, and he was arrested for soliciting prostitution during the reception.
During the reception, out in Hollywood. Yeah, it was the groom's best friend. Not the best man, but...
That's awesome. That's
great. And
he
had a wife and kids inside, so everybody, you know, comes out when they hear the commotion, and you should have seen the, you know, the look on the wife's face, which was pretty horrible.
Oh, dear God.
I got to ask, who goes out when your wife and kids are inside at the reception? Who goes out in front of the hotel and tries to get with a hooker in the parking lot? That's too good to be true.
Probably drunk, right?
An Armenian.
Yeah!
Hey.
Hey. Lisa, your turn.
Hey.
106.7 KROQ is the world famous K-Rock at 8:53. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. 3 days grace on the way, Nirvana, Silver Sun pickups, and more straight ahead on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for the showbiz beat. You know, a lot of people listening were at the Rose Bowl last fall with U2, did their historic concert there. Those of us who don't live in Southern California were watching it online. They streamed the show through YouTube. Well, they got plenty of good footage from that show, and if you want to see it, you'll have your chance. It's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray in post-production right now. Should be out in time for the holidays. That was, by all accounts, one of the great U2 shows of all time.
Too, nope.
By the way, the Rose Bowl. That's what I heard.
Nope.
But it is going to be coming out, so it's always fun for those of us who don't go to the shows, because that's a hassle, to actually still be able to enjoy them in the comfort of our own home. There's never one rat in the woodpile. That's the old expression. Maybe you've heard it. And that's certainly the case with this Jesse James story, as yet another woman has come forward to claim that she, too, had sex with the Monster Garage star. No one wished that I had Jesse's girl. I wished that I had Jesse's girl. Why can't I find a woman like that? Apparently by going on MySpace and looking for models, that's where you can find a woman like that. Let's see. If you're keeping track at home, Michelle Bombshell McGee, the one, the Nazi with the forehead tattoo, she came out first. Then Bridget Daguerre was after her. Then Michelle Smith. Now, we don't know her name yet, but super attorney Gloria Allred claims that she is representing yet another woman who says that she had sex with Jesse James for a number of times over a period of months. This is what I don't get, though. Gloria Allred says her latest client is a beautiful model and businesswoman who can't decide whether she wants to go public or not.
And yet Gloria has made this announcement. Is this, yes, Gloria's new full-time job?
Yeah, oh
yes.
Yeah.
Representing mistresses, exactly, yeah.
What is that? Representing them how? I don't even get how she makes money doing that.
Yeah, I don't see why they... I mean, look, if you had an affair with Jesse James, I don't know why you need a lawyer.
If you want an agent...
Yeah,
or a lawyer negotiate your fees. I get it. I don't get the Gloria thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. An agent would make sense if you're trying to sell your story, your texts, your photos, and stuff like that. Maybe that's when you need an agent, but I don't know what you need legal representation for.
And all this could have been avoided if Sandra Bullock just paid more attention to poor Jesse James.
Yeah. Stop it.
That is a good point. Clearly the blame falls on her.
Oh, man.
Now, I've been wondering, and we have discussed briefly on the Kevin and Bean Show in recent weeks, how likely it is that Sandra Bullock is going to take Jesse James back. We had the same conversation when it came to Elon Woods, too. I mean, is there a point at which you go, okay, it wasn't just a mistake. You weren't on the road and accidentally fell into someone, all right? This was clearly your lifestyle away from me, was to have all these chicks and have constant, repeated extramarital sex, right? How likely is Sandra to take Jesse back? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but Perez Hilton has uncovered an interview that Sandra Bullock did on the red carpet at the People's Choice Awards, where she was asked about Tiger Woods' situation at the time, long before she realized that she would soon be in a similar sex scandal.
Yeah.
Right? Here's the quote. If I were Elon, man, I would have hit a lot more than she did. I would have kept hitting. Yeah, she stopped. She was respectable. I'd get the baseball bat. I'd get everything out. So it doesn't sound like she necessarily is the type who will say, ah, forgive and forget. What the hell?
But you never know. Once it happens to you, everything changes. It's easy to be an onlooker.
That's absolutely true.
And also, we don't really know what kind of situation Jesse James and Sandra Bullock were in. You don't know what they worked out when they got married. And I'm not saying that.
I don't think they worked out, have a lot of girlfriends on the side. I don't think that was part of their marriage.
No, but when you have two pretty famous people enter into a marriage, things are different. And for instance, it came out yesterday that they did have a prenup. They get to keep whatever assets he had, whatever assets she had. Everything stays the same. You don't know if they had like an open marriage and stuff like that.
But we really don't. We don't. But that seems I agree.
That would be extremely rare for that. I mean, they're not Monique. Come on. Oh, change your legs and everything. By the way, two things interesting on this point. One is a lot of people would be surprised to find out that Jesse James is worth as much as Sandra Bullock. Both of them are worth over $100 million each because he's got an empire, you know, not just the West Coast Choppers, but he owns restaurants and magazines and he does, you know, all sorts of other stuff. And two is if a divorce does happen, it will depend on what state they file in. Laws in Texas, for instance, where Sandra's residency is, very different than laws in California where Jesse's residency is. So that may come to play as well. So we'll just have to wait and find out what happens. One more loser in love. I forgot for a minute, and it was kind of blissful that John Gosselin was still out there existing. He has had a girlfriend. He, of course, was married to Kate. He had all those kids on that reality show. Morgan Christie is his recent girlfriend. In Touch Weekly reports that she has given him the walking papers after 5 months together because, and this is what I love about John Gosselin, he's just plain lazy. He lies around the house, doesn't like to work, has no friends, and is getting fat.
That's awesome. The guy is
a prize. What I found out when that show took off, and I found out at the time when that, what was it, John and Kate Plus Eight, when that show first hit big, when I found out that dude was like 28 years old, I couldn't believe it. No one looks worse for his age than John Gosselin.
I know, it's true.
And the guy had an opportunity to do something with his little bit of fame if he had any ability, ambition, or talent. But instead, he just sits around, being all fat and lazy.
Yeah, maybe so. Kate wasn't such a bitch, huh?
In retrospect, I hate to say it, but I think maybe I like Kate a little bit more than I like John.
I do, too.
All right, today's celebrity birthdays, a ton of them. Great Supreme singer Diana Ross is 66 years old today. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith is 62. You know, we're getting into the age with some of these rock stars where they used to say, how long can they go? You know, there are a lot of rockers from the Stones to Eric Clapton to Springsteen that are all in their 60s now. Is Steven Tyler still going to be out there at 70 singing Walk This Way? I don't know.
I don't know.
James Iha from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Hey!
42 today. TV hostess Lisa Gibbons, 53. Actor, comedian Martin Short is 60. The great Leonard Nimoy from Fringe, and of course, best known from Star Trek, 79. Actor Alan Arkin, 76. James Caan is 70. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy turns 37 today. And the beautiful Amy Smart, 34. Keira Knightley, 25. A lot of celebs born today. What's up with that? And that is the Showbiz Beat. So a couple days ago here on the show, Joe Rogan was in, and he pretty much sold me on the sensory deprivation tank, the isolation tanks. Pretty much sold me as something that I have to try. He loves it, how it clears your mind, how it frees you from all the external stimulation and gives you a chance to kind of get deep in what's going on in your head. So then yesterday we took some calls from listeners, Lisa, you'll recall, who were giving us their experiences. They had kind of a mixed bag. I don't remember anybody actually walking away loving it, do you?
No. But most of them had not done it regularly. Which is what Joe said, you had to do it at least three or four times to get really comfortable with it.
And then we got an email from Kevin Bean listener Jan, and we asked him to join us on the show, who had something he kind of wanted to add to the conversation, something that I had no concept of, an angle to the story that I had not even considered, something we need to be aware of. Jan, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning, all.
Hi.
What's going on? What'd you write to us about?
Well, I think you guys missed an important cinematic milestone regarding deprivation tanks in the movie Altered States, where William Hurt got into one of those tanks and began to deconstruct his DNA and turn himself into another creature. And I kind of was thinking, you know, with that whole clown you got in your house, I was kind of imagining you'd be more of like the Beetlejuice guy being chased by the sandworms out in the middle of nowhere if you did that.
Okay. And I thought, what's happening? What's happening in this conversation? How am I now being chased by sandworms and rearranging my DNA? I'm just laying down in salt water.
Well, I don't know. It's your psyche. It's not mine.
So is that what happens? Is it gets inside your head and just changes everything? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's at least that's what the movie suggested. I mean, I don't think it'd work with Kevin because his giant melon would snap like a twig floating in the salt. But yeah. I think for you, it's possibly some danger. I suggest you avoid.
Jen, mm-hmm. I was fascinated by your comments in your email, and obviously you are a science fiction fan, because I was especially fascinated with the signature on the email that you sent us, which is unlike any I've ever seen from an adult. What are you rocking as your email signature, dude?
I'm a fleet captain of the Black Knight, which is the Planetary Assault Group 8 from Starfleet Command. So that's just a side job I have.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Hold on a second here. You're in Starfleet Command, Earth Sol Sector?
Oh, yeah. Out of San Francisco. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what is that all about? What's that entail?
Is it a weekend thing?
You get tired of your day job looking at spreadsheets and running a business, so you got to have something at night to kind of keep you motivated to get through the next work period. So
is it like being in the National Guard? It's 1 weekend a month and then 2 weeks a year. You're out
pretty
there
much. Yeah, the difference is the 2 weeks a year you're off world in another planet. So I mean, it's a little bit of a haul.
Okay, how does a guy, look, I understand being a sci-fi fan. Lord knows we work with Ralph Garman. We know what it's like when you get the bug, when you get you become the geek. I get all that. But you put that on every email that you send out?
Well, I mean, it's not every email. I mean, I don't send it to the IRS that way. You wouldn't want them checking up on you. But sure, I mean, that's just part of my signature stamp that people know from me, yeah.
And what kind of reaction do you get from that? Do most people just ignore it and go, oh, Crazy Jan, or are most people into it, or what?
Most people know Crazy Jan. I think that's probably the difference.
We may have to do a call-in next week with people who have crazy signatures, or people who get emails from those with crazy signatures, because people do put everything up on their signatures sometimes. But I look at yours, Jan, and I just can't believe you can hold a job. I mean, I can't believe your employer looks at you and goes, yeah, Jan thinks he's in Starfleet Command. What are we going to do with this dude?
Well, then again, he knows, because the license plates of my car is all referenced the original Enterprise, too, with 1701 on them. So, I mean, it's a commitment. And I'm married, too, if you can believe that, for 25 years.
Nope.
No.
Nah. Oh! Nah. You are the best. All right. Well, what do I call you as I say goodbye? Do I call you Commander or what?
You know, Fleet Captain.
Fleet Captain, all right.
Fleet Captain, yep.
Fleet Captain Jan, keep being out there and keeping us safe, all right?
No problem. Well, we'll do so. Good luck to
all right.
Thank you, Kevin, and to you, too.
Live long and prosper.
Religion there in India, there's no beef in the tacos, however. Right. So it's exactly the same as here in the United States.
Aww.
Isn't that interesting?
Look, I don't know that much about India. I'm assuming it's a country.
Yes. Should we thank them? Should we just give them a real quick call and thank them for just...
Do we have time? Can you dial them up there, Mike?
Yeah, let's dial up India. What did he say? Kevin's not here to protest.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, India! I was wondering how many people are left that still get that bit.
Not many.
It just don't matter. Well, finally. Finally, The Hills is coming to an end. After 6 seasons, MTV has announced that The Hills will... be its final season this year, and Heidi Montag is thrilled, because now she's ready to move on and do what she's really meant to do.
Yeah.
Which is become a movie star.
Yeah.
Oh.
Heidi tells People magazine, "I'm so excited The Hills is finally over, and now I can become a full-time motion picture actress." There's no better training for an actor than being in front of the cameras 24/7. Well, actually, there is.
There's a lot better.
It's called acting school.
It's right. called acting, right. A lot of acting people class. Do that.
Yeah. Yeah. She said that she is ready to make a motion picture that she has written herself.
Of course.
"I want to truly show the world my creative ability while playing different characters. I want to play a lifeguard named Summer in a script I wrote myself. It is the first 3D beach comedy about a shark that attacks a small beach town. And I saved the day with my 3D boobs."
Yes. Please let her make that movie, Hollywood. Please.
"I have even written a role for Dolly Parton to play the town mayor." "I am now finally free to start my career and my new life as a female mogul in Hollywood."
I want to see that movie right now. So I can't wait for that to be filmed.
Heidi Montag's post-Hills plans. She wants to be a Hollywood mogul.
Well, scripts like that, who's holding her back?
She couldn't be a mogul at a ski resort, let alone a Hollywood mogul.
Hey, now.
What?
Jesse James, he just gets worse for this bastard. He's got, of course, Bombshell McGee, Michelle Smith, and Bridget Daguerre, I mentioned yesterday. That's three. Well, there's a fourth.
Oh, no.
Woman
really?
Apparently coming forward. Well, we're not sure if she's going to come forward or not. We have to just take the word of her newly hired attorney, Gloria Allred.
Of course.
Oh.
Gloria told Entertainment Tonight that she is representing yet another one of Jesse's alleged mistresses. My latest client is a beautiful model and businesswoman, Gloria Allred says, who can't decide whether she wants to go public or not, but maintains she carried on a 3-year-long love affair with Jesse James.
Okay.
While he was married to Sandra Bullock.
Sure whether she wants to go public, why come forward?
Why hire Gloria Allred to be your mouthpiece?
Right. Yeah, but we didn't know about you before. If you don't want it to be public, just stay where you are.
She's just fishing. She's fishing for offers. She wants Absolutely. To see if someone will write her a check to tell her story. Speaking of the tabloids,
Lindsay Lohan
is blaming her latest spill that I reveled in yesterday of her falling over loaded into a cactus on her friend's front lawn on the paparazzi. It was the paparazzi that made her do it because they were in her way and they were flashing flashbulbs and threw off her equilibrium. It wasn't the quart of Patron she poured down her throat. It was the flashes that got her.
Sure.
Speaking of which, PerezHilton.com's got a story today about Lindsay lighting up inside a club. Here's the thing. In California, you can't smoke indoors anymore. And even in a bar, you can't smoke.
A lot of places outdoors now you can't smoke.
That's true. But it doesn't stop Lindsay. She was lighting up in this bar. And the poor cocktail waiter. Can you imagine being the cocktail waitress to Lindsay Lohan's party?
No.
How much of a pain in the ass is that? Apparently, she had to visit the table 4 different times and ask Lindsay Lohan to put out her cigarette. Lindsay ignored her every time. So eventually, the waitress grabbed the cigarette out of her hand and snuffed out the cigarette.
Yeah!
Well, Lindsay Lohan reportedly went wild, started shouting, and tried to light the server's skirt on fire with a lighter.
Oh, my God.
Well, that you're allowed to do indoors.
Yeah, you can set the skirts on fire. Thank God. So. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow. Wow. March 26th may be biggest celebrity birthday day in the history of the year. Leonard Nimoy. Mr. Spock.
Wow.
Celebrates his 79th birthday today. He's a good guy.
What was that?
I said you're a good guy, Leonard.
What was that?
I said you're a good guy. Alan Arkin, one of my favorite actors, 76 years old today. He, of course, was in the Sunshine, Little Miss Sunshine. Remember, he was the grandfather in
Yes.
James Caan, 70 years old today.
Caan!
Diana Ross celebrates her 66th birthday. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 62. Martin Short, 60 years old today. Lisa Gibbons, formerly of Entertainment Tonight, is 53. Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing is 50 years old. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos is 44. James Iha.
Hey!
From the Smashing Pumpkins is 42 years old today. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 37. Rapper Juvenile is 35. Uh-oh. Actress Amy Smart is 35 as well. And Keira Knightley celebrates her 25th birthday.
25th?
She's 25th. Only 25.
That's all she is.
Wow.
Did I lie, though? Is that a jam-packed birthday?
Jam-piggity-piggity-packed. Oh,
cut yourself a slice of cake and enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And don't forget to join us Monday for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I'm actually, not that I'm trying to, you know, get past the weekend or anything, but I'm actually looking forward to Monday's show. It's going to be good, partly because we start giving away tickets in the final week before Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2010.
There it is.
Woohoo!
Haven't been talking about it much the last couple of weeks because the show, of course, instantly sold out when it went on sale. But our friend Jimmy Kimmel and his house band from Jimmy Kimmel Live, Cleto and the Cletones, who are the best band in late night TV, are going to be there at the Gibson Amphitheater on a week from Saturday, April 3rd. Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr. It's going to be a great show. We'll have tickets for you every day next week, including Monday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levitt will be here to round up what the celebrities were up to over the weekend on TMZ.com. Complete recap of this weekend's college basketball action with our friend Petrith Papadakis. We've got the Wheel of Man Animal Voices next week, and we're going to continue the discussion we had very early today about whether you'd rather die a long, slow, painful death or just, boom, have it be over in an instant.
Good times.
All right, maybe I didn't sell it just exactly the way the conversation unfolded this morning, but that'll be tomorrow. Excuse me, that'll be a brand new show Monday right here. Join us, won't you please, for the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, shall we sing? Shall we say goodbye? Shall we sing that song that makes it the weekend?
Yes.
There's nothing we can do that draws more complaints than forgetting to play this song on a Friday because this song, my friend, says the weekend is here.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
16-12-1, no.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I bet you can't get a boner.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Really?
This one seems to be about to quit.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
I need another hit.
We're gonna smoke some pot tonight, pot tonight, pot tonight. We're gonna smoke some pot tonight, pot tonight, pot tonight.
Yeah!
Roll, roll.
I'm very black, by the way.
Just like the other one.
You know it. I love those black folks.
This one seems to be about to end.
What is up with Whitey?
I don't have another cent.
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a black guy?
We could write a strongly worded letter.
Just pass it around.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Pass it on down.
You just failed the audition. It's time to go.
Vegas! Party's over! You don't have to go home, but you know the rest of that thing. So, see you guys.
This cannot end well.
What you doing?
Switching you off!
Well, don't you like it?
Oh, it's dreadful!
Embarrassing!
Is it? Yes, it's perfectly awful!
Disgraceful. I don't know how they got the nerve to put it on.
It's so boring!
And cut!
Did you like that sign off? Just made it up.